695.
We have continued to make progress on opening up the access of part two of our getting back, our people getting back in.
All right, the voice you just heard, that was Steve Vanek talking about people getting to the business of getting to their homes. And we're talking about West Texas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. West Texas, where is it? Just outside of Waco, Texas, 75 miles outside of Dallas, to give you an idea. We all know at this point the fertilizer plant explodes last week. People not expecting that. Not realizing what was going on, seeing a little bit of a fireball, some trying to get close, including first responders, to put it out, and they were killed. 14 people in all dead, 170 injured, houses destroyed, and lives just ripped apart. It was really 6 degrees of separation, even less than that, in that small town. 2,800 people, that's the population. A lot of people coming to the aid of West Texas with donations, clothes, everything that you can possibly think of, especially in the state of Texas, but outside of the state, others also really feeling for those that went through it. And it was overshadowed because of what had happened at the Boston Marathon and the manhunt for the two brothers and trying to answer the question of why and how did this happen. And what is this all about? And what are we going to label it, for goodness sake? And we're talking about Tamerlan and Zokar Snarnoff, both ultimately cornered by police in the end. Tamerlan going right toward the cops late on Thursday night into Friday morning, ends up dead, dies, is pronounced dead at the hospital. Ironically, his brother escaping the firefight with the police once they were cornered in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is right there, of course, in Boston. He runs over his brother, drags his body when they were trying to cuff him. So he gets away and is ultimately caught. TV, everybody's watching, 8:45 at night on Friday. So a wild 15 hours that included a lockdown of a million people. Transit shut down, schools shut down, people told to stay home, stay inside, do not go on the streets, because they were searching for Zokar, the 19-year-old, the kid brother of Tamerlan, the two suspects in the Boston Marathon bombings that led to three people's deaths at the marathon itself, and 170 people being wounded. There, of course, were a couple of other things and casualties that resulted after that, including the sad story of Sean Collier, who wanted his whole life to be a cop and was there on the MIT campus on Thursday and was shot, just ambushed at point-blank range and had no chance. But this opened up the lid to that these two guys were here and they were running around. So you had FBI agents, anyone you can imagine connected with Homeland Security, police, all kinds of people looking for both of them. And now what's actually happening right now at this hour is he has started to respond, talking about the 19-year-old who was cornered in the boat of the backyard of somebody who was smart and realized that the tarp had been messed with on his boat in his driveway. So after making sure he wasn't wired with explosives, ultimately Zokar was talked out of the boat, was taken to the hospital and treated for lots of blood that was coming out of him where he was hit. And they think that he may have even tried to shoot himself in the mouth and commit suicide. So now he is supposedly opening up to police. He's the surviving suspect. And he's responding to the questions, started responding late on Sunday night. So this is a huge turn in trying to piece together why the two brothers from Chechnya, who were then in America, carried out this kind of attack on the country that they adopted as their own. So unable to question him after he was badly wounded, and he was unable to talk since he was captured on Friday night. But this is less than 48 hours. He was hospitalized in serious condition, was able to talk, and started to respond to the questions. He was able to talk a little bit, so he started to respond to the questions in writing. And, you know, all what those questions, how they were worded, all that kind of stuff, I mean, you can only imagine very little is leaking out of that. But there, that's the big turn in a case when we're wondering about the warning signs and did anybody know that these two were capable of pulling off this horrific attack and leading to this manhunt that locked down a city on Friday. There are many things that need to be answered, including why the elder brother, who wasn't pursued further after he was questioned by Homeland Security, or the FBI really, in 2011, why nobody was keeping tabs on him. The Russian government had asked for an investigation, for goodness sake, of Tamerlan Snardov, who died in that shootout on Friday, out of concern that he had ties to militant separatist groups in southern Russia. So if Russia calls us and tells us that, and then we say, well, we looked into it, and okay, well, it's okay, he's all right, that's it? I don't know. I'm thinking if they're calling us and asking to look into them, then it's something that maybe they should have flagged a little bit tighter. So there's the first question that needs to be answered for sure. And the other questions, of course, are why did this happen? How did this happen? How ultimately did it get to this point that he was so radicalized? Was he training with somebody, and were there more people? Supposedly there's a sleeper cell that's much more expansive than this one involved in this attack. And a couple of people have been picked up and questioned about it. Four different people have been questioned, and maybe there's more that will be hunted down. And since it's been, what, a decade since September 11th, and, you know, there's been a lot of concern that there is just so much that we do not know, and that an attack was almost imminent, and here we go. It's very chilling to think what happened and how easily these bombs were just in plain view, easily dumped off in a crowded situation where you have thousands of people on a very, very big day in Boston. Very, very big day. Look, almost like the way they carried off, like the Mumbai attacks, and nobody expecting anything. And obviously they weren't concerned about the links to radical Islam and Chechenian extremists prior to Tamerlan's extended trip to the country last year, which is wild. That nothing surfaced at all, that they're saying there just wasn't anything there, nothing there. Mm-mm-mm. Did somebody drop the ball? And do we need to drop the ball on immigration reform and focus completely on the borders? What say you? 855-266-5283. Keep hanging with us here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Perhaps you've already done that whole tax thing. I know as much as people can procrastinate or infuriates them, some of the things that they're taxed for and whatnot, inevitably it comes back around every single year. Americans for Prosperity released a tax reform proposal. You're going to love this. In the wings, we've had him on the show before. He's great. James Valvo's with us from AFP to talk about that. James, thanks for hopping on the show this time around.
Sure thing. Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
All right. So as the director of policy and as you look at what's going on with the economy and what's happening with Congress, and you see that the tax code is so distortive, to say the least, and all over the map, and you can't understand it really. Honestly, you need 3 master's degrees, seriously. It's not simple in any way. In your reform proposal, you address that. What do you think are the things that need to happen?
Well, here's the good news. The good news is that Chairman Camp and Chairman Baucus, the head of the 2 committees in the House and the Senate, seem really interested in doing a package, okay? Chairman Baucus is starting to get on in years. Dave Camp is recovering from cancer. These guys seem like they're looking to put a legacy bill together, which is a good sign that they really want to do something comprehensive and big, because that's the only time you can really get a lot of this distorted stuff out of the tax code, is when you're willing to do something big, put together a big package that gets rid of a lot of these things at the same time, and that's where you have the ability to bring down the rate. And that's really the key to tax reform, is simplicity, getting rid of as many provisions as possible in order to bring down the top rate. And another signal that I just like to mention to your listeners is that Speaker Boehner reserved H.R. 1 for tax reform this year. So that's a really symbolic gesture by the Speaker that he wants to go forward with tax reform. And so what AFP wanted to do, and Chairman Camp put out a call to everybody who's interested in tax reform and said, write up your ideas. We want this to be an open, deliberative process. We want to gather as much information as possible. We're not going to try and write this behind closed doors. Believe it or not, the tax reform is one of those things that is just going to be dominated by the lobbyists. Like you said, you got to have 3 master's degrees and a handful of lawyers at your side to understand this stuff. And the lobbyists have got it. But to Chairman Camp's credit, he put out a call and said, give us your information. Let us know what you want to do. And so that's what we did at Americans for Prosperity. We stepped back and said, if we were going to try and get rid of as much of this stuff as possible, let's lay down a marker and let the chairman know what good free market tax reform looks like. And hopefully they'll adopt some of those proposals.
And one of the things you talk about is flat and neutral tax code. Wow. What a revelation. Of course, we've been screaming about that for so long here on this show. It would be really easy to do that, wouldn't it?
Well, sure. I think neutrality is one of those concepts that gets lost a little bit in tax reform. People say you want a broad base and a low rate. I don't think that's exactly right. Instead of a broad base, what you want is a neutral base. And what neutrality in taxation means is that the code doesn't discriminate between savings and consumption. And it also doesn't discriminate between different types of saving and consumption. And so I'd like to give you just one example of how the tax code currently is not neutral and how we already have a provision in place that recognizes that, and that's savings. So we have 401ks and Roth that recognize that savings get taxed twice. They get taxed when you earn it, and then they get taxed again when you take it out of your savings account later. And so we've already installed in the code 401ks and Roth IRAs that people are already familiar with. The reason that we have those is to eliminate the lack of neutrality for savings. But they're very targeted provisions. You're only allowed to put in a certain amount of money a year. And here's something that gives you a window into the two different sides. The president's budget proposal came out and said he wants to cap the ability of people to have more than $3 million in their IRAs. At AFP, we want to go completely the opposite direction and say we want to take the yearly caps off the top of these savings accounts and say anybody should be allowed to save however much they want tax-free, then be taxed on it at the back end when you take it out, which is just like a consumption tax. You're only taxing it once at the last point before the consumer uses it. That's how our income is taxed right now. If I earn something out of my W-2, out of my paycheck, go to the store with it, it's only taxed once. But if you save, if you do the responsible thing, if you put it in the bank account, say, I'm going to plan for 20 years from now, you're hit again. That's a lack of neutrality in the tax code and something we could really get rid of that would do us a lot of good.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Another thing that you talk about, which you won't be good friends with T. Boone Pickens anytime soon, is energy. End all production tax subsidies is one of the things that you say in your recommendations, and that includes the marginal well credit, enhanced oil recovery credit, and the one that I'm referring to with T. Boone Pickens, jokingly, a wind production credit, which is ridiculous when you see how little the wind production is actually working in most areas, and the ridiculous amount of credit a said company, let's say, gets or individual. So if we got rid of the energy deal, that would obviously, it would, like I said, infuriate a few handful of people, but it makes sense to me. It makes sense to a lot of people that call this show, but for people who don't understand, well, wouldn't they look at you and say, well, that's not, you're not telling people to be very green then? Do you not care about the environment? What would you say?
Well, this is the junk that's in the tax code, right? Everybody who's got a lobbyist, everybody who's got a great idea goes up to Congress and says, I got a great plan. It'll work in 10 years. You just don't make me pay any taxes for 10 years. For the wind production tax credit, it's been 20 years that thing's been in place now. So this argument that just give me a tax break and I can get this new industry up off the ground, it doesn't work. These guys stay addicted to the tax credits. They never wean themselves off it such that they can succeed in the market on their own. A lot of the growth that we've seen in wind, look, I'm not anti-green. I'm pro-free market. But most of the growth that we've seen in wind is because of state purchase mandates, which are called renewable portfolio standards, green energy mandates. 30-some states in the country have them. It's not because of the tax credit. It's because of a purchase mandate on the state level. And so there are hundreds of provisions like that in the code that are targeted to the specific type of biofuel, the specific type of algae. It's really time to get rid of that stuff. And what I think another thing about these targeted provisions is that there are recognition that the code, that the tax rate is too high.
Yeah.
Right. If the tax rate was low enough, you wouldn't need the special carve out for your own industry. But look, we're not for just going after green energy. Like you already read off, we're for going after the marginal well credit, which is just a production subsidy to oil companies when the price of oil is too low, so that they'll keep pumping for marginally productive wells. Enhanced oil recovery does the same thing. There should be no subsidies based on the production of a commodity. That's really the wrong way to go about it. And so that's why we're for getting rid of it across the board. Those things on their own would be a tax hike because people would lose their special credit, their tax liability would rise, but this is why you have to do it in big comprehensive reform. You can bring down the top corporate tax rate at the same time.
What about internationally? You said something about that, which is also something that people talk a lot about, even if we're going in a different direction and talking about corporate taxes and lowering that to bring more business back because our corporate taxes are so high.
Well, look, this is the one of the silliest provisions. We're the last major industrialized country in the world that taxes our corporations' worldwide earnings. I mean, it doesn't matter if you earn it here or if you have a factory in India. The United States government is going to tax your earnings no matter which location you are. But we have an additional provision that's called worldwide with deferral. And that means that you don't pay the tax until you actually bring the money back into the United States. What incentive has that set up? It set up the incentive that these multinational corporations that are American set up foreign subsidiaries. They earn their money in India. And what do they do with the earnings? They leave it over there. They never bring it back. And why would you bring it back when you would be subjecting yourself to, again, double taxation, like I was talking about with savings? We're the last industrialized country that has worldwide taxation. Everybody has gone to a system that's called territorial taxation, which means you pay once and only once in the place that you earn the income, and then the money is yours and you can do with it what you want. We want to create an environment where every other company around the world wants to come to the United States instead of setting up the corporate tax system that we have, which chases our earnings overseas. It's totally backwards.
Yeah. And for people that were crunching numbers at the last second doing their taxes, when it becomes an individual thing, it really is about, okay, because I'm here and I've got the best tax attorney and I can do this. It's okay. I'll figure out these deductions. But really, everybody gets jammed up in the itemized deductions, don't they?
Well, the itemized deductions only helps people who have above the standard deduction. It only helps the upper middle and upper income folks. And I'd like to talk about a very specific provision in that's called the state and local tax deduction. You're allowed to deduct from your federal liability taxes you paid on the state level. And this is one that I was sort of torn about, right, because I don't want to tax the same dollar twice. But what that does is it creates a subsidy to the state and local government because they can keep raising taxes on their high earners. And every time they do it, they're just increasing the deduction on those people's federal returns. It creates a transfer of the tax dollar from the federal government to the high state regimes. We see it in California, we see it in New York, we see it in Connecticut. These are the places that have the high earners that are itemizing their deductions. So we need to get rid of as much of this as possible, be extremely simple, pay all your taxes once, and be done with it. We're going to see a great benefit through that simplicity and the neutrality that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, pay them once. I agree with you. James Thabo, thanks so much for coming on the show from AFP. AFP's Director of Policy. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much for having me, and I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone toll-free 1-800-977-6119. InventHelp, America's leading invention company, has inventors' information you can have free. Get an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors from the company whose patent referrals have helped secure more than 7,000 patents. Learn how to get your free information by dialing 1-800-977-6119. That's 1-800-977-6119. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call. That's 1-800-977-6119. 1-800-977-6119.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraganiX.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
From taxes back to the Boston bombers, the FBI is hunting a sleeper cell linked to the brothers Tamerlan and Zokhar Tsarnaev and operating under the guise that they didn't have this on their own, that there were other people that were pulling the strings. There are a lot of questions and not a lot of answers at this point. Zokhar Tsarnaev went to a college party 2 days after he killed three people and injured 176 at the Boston Marathon. And, you know, it led on off ultimately this wild manhunt and the shutdown of a major city area of 1 million people. And then Zokhar shot himself in the throat in a botched suicide attempt when he was having his last stand with the police, so he damaged his larynx, but he answered questions on Sunday by writing down answers when he was questioned. So there's all kinds of angles on what happened in Boston. I think the biggest thing that comes out of this is what happens at our borders and this whole immigration reform deal in the middle of now what we're seeing was what we feared would happen a long, long time ago after 9/11, how many plots have been thwarted, but now how vulnerable are we in the United States? Did you think we were this vulnerable or just lucky? What do you think? 855-266-5283 if you want to chime in and punch it in. You can do that, 855-266-2283, or send me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. And the biggest blunder to me is, and Democrats and Republicans who were sounding off about it agreed, so clearly it's not a partisan deal here, but there needs to be an examination of why, especially the older brother, he wasn't closely monitored, that maybe they would have been able to prevent the terror attack that left all those people in the quandary of their life, fighting for their life in so many hospitals after the Boston Marathon. You know, the idea that they checked about possible radicalization of Tamerlan and then came up that it was okay, I think is kind of mind-boggling. When other people being interviewed, people around them, neighbors said, oh, that he was quoting things from the Quran and arguing about American politics and, you know, in a definitely venomous way, not in a heated debate kind of way. And did he travel on an alias when he left the U.S.? He was gone for 6 months. You know, what ultimately, there are a lot of big concerns. Were there other trips? How many times was he going back over to Russia, Chechnya? And is there any evidence of that? So that's what I want to know. I want to know if the ball was dropped in the investigation into Tamerlan Snardov, because he clearly was flagged by the Russians who told the FBI about him. So did they miss a lot of things in their investigation? How did they follow up? I think those are critical things, absolutely, to find out. By the way, there are some other things, odds and ends, we like to call them on the show, that have happened, believe it or not, that I want to definitely ramble through here. And I say ramble because it's a need-to-know thing, like what's going on in the skies. Many of you fly, and the airlines are asking a federal court to stop the furlough of air traffic controllers because they're saying this could delay 6,700 flights every day, with people waiting up to 4 hours in some cases. The FAA is starting the furloughs. They started them on Sunday as part of these spending cuts that took effect in March because Congress didn't do anything. We already know that. So they say they got to furlough 47,000 employees, including 15,000 air traffic controllers, because they got to cough up $637 million. They got to figure out a way to do that. And the annual budget for the FAA is $16 billion. They say they cannot avoid the furloughs. And that's pretty scary now when they're saying specifically, hey, it's air traffic controllers, so just expect it. It's going to be four-hour delays. How would you feel if you're supposed to get to the airport 2 hours ahead of time and then you have a four-hour delay because of part of the budget reduction? They're making it inefficient, which is ridiculous, because what they're proposing is making it inefficient for everybody. And why are they trying to impact the public to flex their muscles and say, oh, no, you know, dump this on Customs and Border, dump this on the Bureau of Prisons, dump this on the meat inspectors, dump this on the TSA, but don't dump it on us, because if you dump it on us, you're going to regret it. We're going to see massive delays at the airports because we got to furlough people. And that's the way it is. So beware of that. I think it's brutal that they're talking about that many people being furloughed and that much of a delay time at an airport. So imagine what the delay would be. What's the delay at a major airport versus a medium-sized airport? It could be worse at the medium-sized airport. Could be worse. Hard to believe it, but I think we'd all be tearing our hair out if we're talking about that many hours waiting somewhere combined with what you're doing to travel to get to the airport, they should rethink who they're furloughing there, especially air traffic controllers. Come on now, give me a break with that. Brutal. And I don't want to leave out all of you in the Midwest who have been dealing with extreme weather. That should be the reality show, extreme weather, whether it's snow or floods, and the floods are unreal. You see water in some places that are up to people's waistlines. Along the Mississippi River, it was terrible. On Sunday, there were people that were stranded from the Quad City south to St. Louis. They're talking about 10 feet, 12 feet above flood stage. So you had hundreds of thousands of acres of swamped farmland, and we've got planting season coming up. You have roads and bridges closed, sections of highways like 61, U.S. Highway 61 in Iowa and Missouri, Quincy, Illinois, Louisiana, Missouri, tough places. They're talking about 114 barges that broke loose near St. Louis on Saturday night. Four hit the Jefferson Barracks Bridge in St. Louis County. So the bridge had to be closed for 6 hours. And they did corral some of those. They corralled most of those barges, but how awful. Then you had flood-related deaths that happened, too, in Indiana and Missouri. All three were cars that were swept off the road in flash floods. The danger is still prevalent, too, because they're looking for the river to crest in other places later in the week. So the places that haven't been hit, and especially with heavy rain, that's supposed to hit on Monday night and Tuesday, that doesn't do much for relieving the pain in the flooded spots. And, I mean, there's nothing like dealing with that wall of water and the damage that it does to anything in its path. So the anxiety has to be incredibly high in parts of the Midwest, especially our friends all over Missouri and Mississippi. Sandbags. I mean, that's really what you can do. You can get out of there, but just trying to preserve your house in some of these high water places like Clarksville, Missouri. You got a sandbag. That's all you can do. You got to do something makeshift. If the river is at 34.7 feet, wow, 10 feet above the 25-foot flood stage. Oh, that's nasty. That's hazardous to everything, to lives, property, anything you can imagine. I'd be very, very nervous, and I'd be sandbagging as much as I could. It sounds funny. I'm in a sandbag. I'd be sandbagging. I would. I'd be killing myself, but that's what I would do because I don't trust that it would recede. Yeah, it could recede, but now there's a call for more water, so no way do you take risk, believing the weather guy or not. I'm going to say I'm believing him. I'm looking at the map, and I see it, and I see that front coming, and I think you can't ignore it. Coming up here on America Tonight, it is about the numbers. So, yes, we're going to pull out another version of We Can Count. There were a lot of numbers this past week. Let's hope the numbers are positive swinging into this newest week. And I think we've got a glimpse of a few that are pretty positive and then a few that are pretty stressful. So we're jumping into We Can Count next here on ATN.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The coming financial collapse is real. The subsequent social unrest will happen. Even if you made it out of suburbia alive, where would you take your family? Act now to secure your survival retreat in the American Redoubt with the experts at SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. The American Redoubt is the designated safe haven for all liberty-minded patriots relocating to Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Get eyes, ears, and boots on the ground. Get professional, confidential, discreet advice. Get SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. Call 208-627-2855. Save time, money, and stress while you secure your ultimate survival retreat property now, before it's too late. Water, energy, food, defense. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com.
Magnitude earthquake smashed into the Mexican state in Mexico City. Buildings were swaying. No reports of injuries, but the state where it was, it was Michoacan, and that's about 200 miles actually away from Mexico City. So the fact that they had buildings sway shows you how powerful it was, but the fact that nobody died, at least to our knowledge yet, is pretty significant, because sometimes that's that range where you could see some people being trapped or some buildings having windows blown out, and certainly some injuries from that. $300 million, what does that buy you? A Wall Street tycoon created a $300 million China scholarship. Check this out. The Steven Schwartzman, who's the founder of the private equity firm Blackstone, said he's going to give away $100 million as a personal gift and raise another $200 million to endow the Schwartzman Scholars Program at Beijing's university. It's going to be the largest philanthropic gift with foreign money in China's history. The Wall Street mogul said China's rapid economic growth and rising global influence would define the 21st century, as U.S. ties to Europe did to the 20th century when the Rhodes Scholarship was created at Oxford. That China is no longer an elective course, it's core curriculum. Well, that's going to be good for somebody. 200 students every year will be able to take part in a one-year master's program there. All expenses paid, public policy, economics, business, international relations, blah, 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 blah. 45% of the students would come from the United States, 20 from China. Well, that's good. At least some United States kids are going to get to do it. But I'm thinking to myself, $300 million. What could we do in this country with $300 million? I'm just saying, I know we got to look at the future and all of that, but $300 million. You might be charitable with other organizations, too. I hope you gave some money to West Texas. All right, and to the people in Boston. Two children have been discovered living in a New Jersey storage unit. This is a creepy story. It's a carryover from Into the Weekend. The Trenton cops say they went to a storage locker in a place called Ewing after a woman arrested earlier in the day told them her two sons were there. So they did go there. They discovered a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old living inside a filthy, narrow, unheated unit at a place called the Extra Space Storage Facility. The mother was arrested for slashing the tires on her boyfriend's car. They say that she told them about the kids as part of routine questioning on whether she had any dependents. Oh, that is one of the worst stories, I think, heading into the weekend that I heard. She could care less about these boys and the fact that she locks them up in a storage unit and that nobody at the storage unit knows. I mean, come on, what's going on with all of that? And here we go. What's going to happen to them ultimately? Does she, I guess she gets to keep her kids, right? Should someone like that have kids when she's locking them up in the storage unit? I'm just saying. Three Doors Down bassist has been charged with a vehicular homicide. Wow, I've seen them in concert a couple of times. Todd Harrell is his name. And what happened was they threw him in jail Friday or Saturday. Because what happened was he was picked up in connection with an accident on Friday night on Interstate 40. A 47-year-old was killed in that accident. The preliminary investigation showed that he was driving fast when his car clipped a pickup truck, and the pickup truck went out of control, down an embankment, overturned, and then that's it. So with the car hitting a retaining wall, his car stopped about a quarter mile away. They could see signs of what happened there. He underwent field sobriety tests. He said he had been consuming a bunch of stuff, that he was taking some prescriptions like Xanax, and he had hard cider, and so he wasn't, the other guy wasn't wearing a seatbelt. He died at a Nashville hospital. And in the meantime, the band, which was formed in Mississippi, I want to say sometime in the 90s, and has a bunch of hits. He, they didn't know who he was and they picked him up, and he's going to, I mean, obviously, they found all kinds of stuff, including a bag that had Xanax pills and oxycodone and other pills too, as well. And he's not the only one who got in trouble for a driving incident. Of course, vehicular homicide is different than DUI. But Al Michaels, NBC crew, part of that Sunday night crew, legendary voice, he was arrested over the weekend in Southern California on suspicion of drunken driving. He was pulled over at about 9:30 on Friday after officers that were at a DUI checkpoint saw him make an illegal U-turn. He was taken to the station where he registered a blood alcohol level over the 0.08% legal limit. He was booked for suspicion of DUI, held for about 5 hours, and now the rest is history. He's going to be in court. He was ordered to appear in court, I guess, on June 26th. and he issued kind of an apology, I think, and that was it. And now NBC says, you know, they're saying they're just dealing with the information. That's pretty much par for the course now. We're just dealing with the information. All right, so there was another DUI, and the other DUI had to do with the husband of Reese Witherspoon, and Reese Witherspoon was also picked up and in trouble because she was charged with disorderly conduct after her husband's traffic stop. She was in Atlanta and has now released a statement saying she was deeply embarrassed about what happened, but her husband, Jim Toth, was picked up on Friday for driving under the influence of alcohol. She said that it was a scary situation. She was frightened for her husband, but it still was no excuse. She said she was disrespectful to the officer who was just doing his job, and that she has nothing but respect for police. She's sorry for her behavior, that she said she clearly had one drink too many and she was embarrassed. So they arrested her, and it was because she wouldn't stay in the car while he was being given a sobriety test. So they released her on Friday morning, and there she was on the red carpet for the premiere of her new film, Mud. She posed for the cameras and didn't stop to talk to the reporters. And what happened was the trooper noticed the car that her husband was driving wasn't staying in its lane, so he did the traffic stop thing, and he said he had Witherspoon's husband, Jim Toth, had droopy eyelids, watery, bloodshot eyes, blah, 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 smelled like alcohol. So that's when they tell you it's time for the sobriety test. Will you consent to that? And then the rest is history. So he's charged with driving under the influence and failure to maintain a lane. It was a very busy weekend, and certainly none busier than what was going on in Boston, and now ultimately what comes out of Boston, and whether or not there are more people connected to the bombing, the marathon bombing from last Monday, because the FBI apparently is looking at sleeper cells that may have up to 12 different people. There's a big belief that they were specially trained to carry out the attack, so they're still trying to track down some people they think might have been involved, and they've arrested a few already. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.